John woke reluctantly, trying not to groan aloud. Damn his foot. Damn his ribs. Damn his head. And, oh damn, Sherlock. He felt the cushions beside him. Sherlock was gone. The flat was dark, and Sherlock was gone. John's heart sank. Well, he'd known it was a risk. Sherlock was bound to have second thoughts. Christ, he hoped he hadn't just wrecked their friendship because that—
I'm making some tea.
John turned toward the voice, startled. He could see Sherlock moving in the milky light from the street and struggled to sit up, clenching his teeth. He heard Sherlock mutter an obscenity and move quickly to help him upright. He pushed a glass of water and two pills into John's hands.
You're overdue. How bad is it?
His arm went around John's shoulders. John delayed answering by swallowing the medication and clearing his throat, not trusting his voice. Sherlock would never be done surprising him. Burying the needle at the moment, but this will sort it. Thanks. He leaned against Sherlock as his friend took the glass from him. John ran a hand over his chest. You cleaned us up.
Please don't tell me you wanted to preserve us in that state for posterity.
John laughed then, out of sheer relief that Sherlock sounded completely like himself. No. Sorry, I missed it, though. I don't think I've ever seen you clean anything. Sherlock snorted and slid behind John, pulling him back against his chest. John let out a pleasured sigh and let his head rest on Sherlock's shoulder. Sherlock's arms went about him. You made tea, John murmured, absurdly happy.
You're too easy to please,
Sherlock whispered. Not a bit of it. I have ridiculously high standards. Do you see who I waited for? Sherlock made a soft noise and buried his face against John's hair.
For me.
His voice was rough.
Why?
Because you're impossible to live with. Because you insult everyone who listens to you for more than 5 minutes. Because you know the decomposition rate of a human scalp, but not how to use the chip and pin machine. Because you'll risk your life to solve a riddle that no one else could solve in a century, or even think to try, and you'll solve it. Because you won't do the washing up or buy the damn milk, but you'll tell some maniac to cut your hand off to save a friend. Because you play the violin like an angel when you think I'm asleep, and fiddle on it when I'm awake. Because you won't talk for days, and then when you do, you'll tell me my blog is rubbish. Because my life would be pure misery without you. Because you're mad, and brilliant, and brave, and beautiful, and God. You suit me right down to the ground. John paused for breath, feeling the heat in his face, and grateful that the lights were off. Sherlock eased out of their embrace and disappeared into the kitchen, and the bottom dropped out of John's stomach. Oh, Christ. Too much information, John. Too fast, too soon, too— John struggled off the sofa and snatched up his pajamas, wrestling himself into them as he hobbled into the kitchen. He could hear Sherlock pouring the tea. Look, just forget I said all that, all right? Just put it down to the meds, or— John found himself up against the wall, with Sherlock's mouth sealed to his clever tongue urgently caressing John's. Something warm and wet and salty splashed John's nose. John went limp with relief, then wrapped his arms firmly around Sherlock's neck, urging him deeper. When Sherlock finally lifted his mouth, his breathing was uneven and too fast.
I'm never going to forget,
he rasped. All right, John whispered. That's good. That's fine.
You're the most extraordinary man I've ever known. You suit me, John. Right down to the ground.
And then Sherlock was kissing him again, and damn, that was fine too, and so was the fact that Sherlock's hands were everywhere John wanted them to be. All this and tea, too. He was the luckiest bastard in London! A deafening, low-pitched sound accompanied John's thought. It shook the floor under their feet and rattled everything in the flat. The concussion of the blast rang in John's ears. Years of combat experience took hold as John tackled Sherlock to the floor, shielding him, before he realized that the explosion was down the street. Car bomb, he breathed, Sherlock took John's face in his hands.
Do you remember that trouble I mentioned?
Yeah.
We're in it.
Diversion?
Oh, yes.
So we're expecting company.
Almost immediately, I imagine.
Pete took our guns.
We'll have to improvise.
John uttered a curse and shimmied back on his hands and knees to let Sherlock up. Sherlock helped him to his feet.
John, I'm going to have to insist that you don't get yourself killed.
He yanked open a drawer and pulled out a fairly intimidating carving knife, offering it to John. Likewise. No thanks. If it's Wilkes, I prefer to bludgeon. John limped out of the kitchen, then hesitated. It is Wilkes, isn't it?
If we're lucky.
Oh, it's always sunshine at 221B, John muttered, seizing the most menacing of the fire irons and limping as quickly as possible to press himself against one side of the doorway to the stairs. Sherlock joined him, his shoulder pressing against John's, the knife in one hand and his coat in the other. What if Mycroft's team...
Mycroft's team will announce themselves, but I dare say they're occupied at the moment.
The sounds of shouting, sirens, and breaking glass wafted in through the open windows. The smell of explosive, petrol, and smoke hung in the air. Bastards, John snarled. How many injured, or worse, just to get something that's sitting in a vault at the Ministry? Sherlock said. John gave him a sharp look. The chip was recovered?
Absolutely,
Sherlock murmured in his ear.
I recovered it from the mantle and put it in your surgical kit.
You what?
Problem?
We need to work on our communication, John hissed as the lock on the front door scraped ominously. Are you saying...
The chip I X-rayed was genuine. In all likelihood, Mycroft has a counterfeit chip. He'll be discovering that about now, I should think.
John bit his lip, imagining the look on Mycroft's face when he made that particular discovery. I could bloody kiss you right now, he breathed, lifting the fire iron as the front door swung open.
Help! Sherlock! Help me!
John turned to Sherlock in amazement. What the hell?
Not exactly an attack by stealth,
Sherlock observed dryly.
Sherlock!
The sounds of someone climbing and falling up the stairs echoed up into the flat. John risked a glance around the corner, but saw only one figure. He's alone as far as I can tell.
Let's see what he has to say, then.
Sherlock slipped the knife into the pocket of his coat and put the coat on over his pajamas. Can I hit him first?
Behave, John.
Sherlock turned on the lights. He had that little half-smile of his on. The one that inevitably made John's insides twist and jump, and the last 3 days hadn't changed that in the least. John lowered the fire iron just as Sebastian Wilkes stumbled over the threshold to land on his hands and knees on the carpet. Wilkes looked from John to Sherlock wildly.
Hello, Sebastian.
Sherlock drew an arm around John's shoulders and steered him in the direction of the kitchen.
We were about to have tea. Would you like to join us?